From Geneva Community Radio, it's another edition of Clearing the Static, our weekly discussion of developments in radio. Hi everyone, I'm Jake Longwell. I'm joined as usual by the Radio Kid. Welcome to another edition of the program. Unlike the last couple of weeks where we were struggling to find some things to fill the hour, we've got a lot to talk about this week, so we'll get right into it, and we'll open the program as we always do when we have a busy news week with Radio News Now. And with that, here is the Radio Kid.
Thank you, Jake, and thank you all of you for going to the newscast to go to when your radio station changes format. I am the Radio Kid reporting, and here is the newscast for the week of October 3rd. Plenty of busy things happening this week, and we're starting off with a rebranding of sorts in several markets as Univision rebrands some of its stations. It's taking its Spanish pop stations and rebranding them to Latino Mix. Up until March of this year, the stations had been using different identities, but now they are using the Latino Mix identity after several months of using an identity with just the frequency and city. So here are some of them. 107.9 Fresno, 100.3 Phoenix, 93.9 Chicago, 99.3 and 107.1 in Dallas. Other radio stations may also be associated with these changes, depending on how Univision sees the rollout. The Latino Mix was used at one time in New York as well. Format changes happening in Dulac, Louisiana, near the Houma market, as Sunny 97.7 takes to the airwaves. It's an adult contemporary station. It was won at auction in 2012, being purchased then by a local company run by John Doughty. The station and its website associated stream, well, there will be a stream coming, we've heard, although it's not online. It's at sunny977kdlc.com. So don't forget to put the call letters in there, or you'll wind up with a station in Michigan. Speaking of Michigan, WMIM is changing its format from MI to reflect an identity of Nash Icon. It's dropping its longtime AC format and going to the classic country brand of Cumulus. Unfortunately, the format change was riddled with snafus. When the format launched Friday at 5 p.m., imaging played continuously before a couple of seconds of dead air, followed by imaging on top of music, according to Radio Insight. The website, NashIcon989FM.com. The station does rimshot the Toledo, Ohio market before it had been classified as a Monroe, Michigan station, but it's actually better heard in Toledo. If you're guessing in Memphis and you're playing the guessing game there, instead of guessing what song is next on Guess FM, would you like to guess the new format? I'll give you a couple of seconds. Okay, if you guessed classic hits, you would be correct. The station took on a reactionary stance to what had happened in last week with 94.1. WKQK dropping classic hits and going country as the wolf. And now the 99.3 translator and its 830 WGUE have gone classic hits. But WGUE is a rimshot station in the market. So it's very possible, and speculation is rampant, that the station could, that another station could pick up the classic hits mantra. Turning now to Dallas, Texas, where things are getting hot at the former I-93. Yes, it's still a CHR station, but it's a rebranding, it's a repackaging. The station is now, it's still accessible by I-93.com, but the former I-93 air staff has been blown out. Cumulus says that change is a new air staff is coming, and they will be on the air. They will be on the air shortly. We're getting some breaking news into the program as we're on the air. As we're on the air here, for anyone not seeing this, for anyone who has not seen the trades, All Access is now reporting. All Access is now reporting that Kevin Metheny, the longtime programming director of KSFO and KGO, as well as many other stints in the business, died last night. This would be Friday night, of an apparent heart attack. Cumulus has released a statement stating that Kevin will be missed. He has served the radio industry professionally and diligently for the past 44 years. We wish his family our condolences. Kevin Metheny dead apparently again last night, apparently of a heart attack. I'm sure some of the trades will be picking up this news, and by the time you hear this program, it will have been all over the trades. But in case you have not seen the trades yet, Kevin Metheny dead of an apparent heart attack as of last night. Turning now to our On the Block segment, we're going to turn to a local item, a local sale taking place here. We've known about this sale for a while. Long Point Media is the name of the company. It's not Vox, as we had suspected, but the names behind the company include Bruce Belginger and Eric Sorvertson, as well as Ken Barlow, Keith Thomas, and Bob Melman. This is a $3.375 million deal, and it includes stations like WNYR in Waterloo, WLLW 99.3 Seneca Falls, WFLK in Geneva, as well as other properties. We've known about this sale for a while, and now we are seeing the document on this one. We will be discussing this on Clearing the Static. Texoma Broadcasting is selling AC station KBBC, and Oldies KSIO, and an associated translator, to Continental Communications for $2.41 million. This according to AllAccess.com. RadioInsight.com reporting Family Radio selling off another station. It's KBFR 91.9 in Bismarck to Real Presence Radio. This is the second station they own in the area with an 89.1 licensed to Mandan. But Real Presence isn't going to use that as a satellite of that station. Instead, it's going to use it as a satellite relay of 1340 in Grand Forks. Now, the price tag is unredacted. Yes, this is the same family radio that is associated with Harold Camping. Pine to Pear Broadcasting is selling News Talk 1480, KKCQ, and KKCQ FM in Foster, Minnesota to RJ Broadcasting. Again, we don't know the sale price of this deal. And finally, Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association is selling Mountain Gospel 99.9 WMTC Van Cleve, Kentucky to Kentucky Mountain College. Both are associated with each other, but both have different boards, says Radio Insight and several other sources. Again, if I may, I'm just going to, for those who are tuning in, I'm just going to repeat the breaking news that we got into the newsroom while we were on the air, in case the other trades have not picked it up. Kevin Metheny, the longtime programmer and consultant who was most recently at KGO and KSFO in San Francisco, is dead, apparently of a heart attack. Not much other information is known about the circumstances of his death. Cumulus sending out a statement with their condolences. Kevin Metheny dead of an apparent heart attack. This is Radio News Now from Clearing the Static. If you have news to send us, please, by all means, send it to radionewsnow@ymail.com. And clearingthestatic.blogspot.com is our website for the week ending October 3rd. I am the Radio Kid, and that is your Radio News Now.
Thank you very much, Radio Kid, as always, as we continue on here on Clearing the Static. I'm Jake Longwell, and we move now to the discussion part of the program, and we can actually give you more information, so it seems, about something that we've been talking about for many months here on the show, and it's now starting to take shape. We'll soon be mentioning frequently, I suspect, the name Long Point Media on this program.
Yes, we will. You know, I've actually been walking around Radio News Now headquarters saying Long Point Media, because it'll be such a change not to have to say the Finger Lakes Radio Group or the Radio Group.
Right.
Or any variant thereof.
Unless they might keep that name for these stations.
They might. And that's something that, yeah, that has to be considered.
Right. Well, honestly, from what I'd heard and from what was said in the various sources the Radio Kid had seen, I honestly thought that the price tag for this was going to be a lot higher. But it turns out these guys were just $375,000 above the opening bid.
Right. And with that taking shape, you know, I have to wonder to an extent what really went on. Because, again, this is almost... it's a little over 2 months.
Well, the auction was on August 18th. So about a month and a half, give or take.
Well, because it's what, October 3rd, right?
Well, we're recording this on October 4th.
Yes. Okay. So, yeah, about a month and a half. I don't know. It just seems longer than it really is.
Right. But you're right. We usually have sale documentation filed long before this.
Right.
So, yeah, one does have to wonder what may or may not have gone on. I suspect we'll never really know, or if we do know, it will be told to us in confidence, so we can't discuss it. Sorry, folks.
Yeah, darn.
but... Yeah, now it seems like a new chapter in Finger Lakes radio history is about to begin and is about to be written.
Yes. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the Vox name.
Right. Now, we should mention, at least from what I understand, this is essentially Vox Media.
Yes. Well, here's where this comes from, because I did not know this. Now... In order to talk about this, we got to talk about one of the partners, Bruce
Benzinger.
Benzinger, because he owns several stations. under several different names. Now, in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, he owns stations under the Gamma and Berkshire Broadcasting names. So if you see any of those names. In Burlington, Vermont, he owns stations under the Vox AM and FM names. This includes the very powerful WEZF 92.9. And he also owns stations in Marion and Kokomo, Indiana, as Azuma AM and FM.
By any chance, does that include, I'm just kind of remembering my trip through Indiana many years ago, does that include a station on 106.9?
I'd have to look it up.
Okay.
The article didn't say what he owns.
Okay.
But I did do some checking into Vox Burlington because I knew the old Vox used to own those stations in Pittsfield.
Right.
And I've heard the names Gamma and Berkshire tossed around.
Yeah, and so have I, now that you mention them.
Right. Now, let's talk about this because this could actually mean some great changes for the cluster. Because everything that Vox owns, everything that they seem to own, unless there's something about the Indiana stations that I haven't seen, everything is live and local.
Right. And you've mentioned this before, and you would know more about this than I, because you follow this more than I do. But you'd mentioned that before, and I have to wonder if maybe that's something we can look forward to here.
I hope so. I hope they'll dump the satellites because I don't think that's one of the big qualms that I've always had against Finger Lakes Radio Group.
Oh yeah.
Here, we'll do local stuff in the morning, but the rest of the day.
Well, even then, in all fairness, Radio Kid, that's how it was initially. In all fairness, things have improved somewhat. I mean, you've got WNYR is live in mornings and voice tracked the rest of the day.
Right.
WGVA is live in mornings and then syndicated talk the rest of the time, except for high school sports.
Right.
WFLK is live in mornings, and that is all satellite.
Yep.
Except on Sunday mornings when they have their classic country show. WLLW, The Wall, is voice tracked except for afternoon drive. Paul Small on The Wall.
Yes.
WFLR, again, live in mornings and satellite the rest of the day except for local sports.
Right.
And, of course, WCGR and WAUB are repeating content from Geneva except for local news content for Auburn. So, yeah, but there's definitely a lot of reliance on satellite or voice tracking either within the company or, in the case of The Wall, voice tracking is done outside the company.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you right now, that's going to end. That whole thing with The Wall, that is going to end.
Right. Well, if from what you say, or from what you've speculated, it would appear that maybe all of the satellite-delivered content, at least musically, will go away.
Yes.
I'm not so sure about WGVA.
No, most likely that will stay.
Although I wouldn't mind if they were to start doing and I've said this for years, I wouldn't mind if they start doing a daily local issues talk show. And I'm sorry, Bill Nojay doesn't count because he's based in Rochester and he syndicated across upstate New York.
Yes.
So that's, okay, that's a regional show. I'll give him that. But it is by no means a local show. And I don't know the status, the current status of Small Talk. That's been off the air for 3 weeks. So I'm not sure if or when that's coming back. I hope it does, because that's the only local issues talk show they have. But I, honestly, I hope Vox will have the, or Long Point, excuse me, same difference, I suppose, will have the good sense maybe to make that into a daily show and pay Mr. Small the amount that he deserves for the amount of preparation and effort that he puts into that program.
Right.
If not, then get another new local talk host.
Exactly.
So, you know, I have mixed feelings about this. I really do. I would love to see more local content come to the stations. At the same time, I think it is sad that the stations will be part of a national chain. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, really.
Right. You know, I've said this before, and I'm sorry, but, you know, I see, and you know me, I don't hold back.
No.
This is very good news, in my opinion. While I'm not exactly happy that the stations are part of a national chain, at this point, we need to look at the lesser of two evils.
Oh, yes.
And the other option would have been that the stations would have been bought by one Mr. Alan Bishop. Now, Mr. Alan Bishop was George Kimball's right-hand man. And I think that in this case, the communities that these stations serve are better off in the hands. I would rather see them in the hands of somebody based in Vermont than to see Mr. Bishop get his bloodstained hands on these properties.
Well, in all fairness, Radio Kid, we don't know anything about staffing. We don't know who is still going to be in the picture. I certainly hope that all of the current staff will be retained, because I know what it's like to lose your job, and I would not wish that on anybody, regardless of how I felt about how they did their job or didn't do their job. I can't wish that on anyone, because I know what that's like, and I'm sure many of you listening to this program can relate. So we don't know anything about staffing. He may very well still be in the picture.
Well, and I want to address that, and I'm hoping that Vox Long Point, I'm hoping that some of the officials are listening to this program.
I doubt that.
I doubt it, but you know what? I have to try, and you know that.
Of course.
So, this is what I would say to you, Mr. Benzinger, if you're listening, or whoever will be managing the Long Point properties here in the Finger Lakes. While I cannot tell you what to do, I recommend that you dismiss Alan Bishop and his services immediately. If you pride yourself, if you pride your company on a radio service that operates in the public interest, convenience, and necessity, if you pride yourself on live and local like you say you do, then my advice to you would be to dismiss Alan Bishop. You do not need to take my word of the things that he has done, although I will be more than happy to tell you what he and his cohorts at Finger Lakes Radio Group have done. If you don't believe me, go visit the studios in Canandaigua. Actually, I can't call them studios. It's just a sales office. But go in the back. Go in the back. Go to the studio that's not used. And then ask Alan Bishop why he did not put a station on in Canandaigua for the citizens of Canandaigua. He'll tell you he did. But what he won't tell you is that he operated the thing from Geneva. And when it wasn't operated from Geneva, he put it on a satellite. Go to Dundee, where, while there is still an okay amount of local programming, look at the staff. Look at how many people were dismissed from Dundee. There's only a 2, maybe 3-person on-air skeleton staff, where before, there were several people who were well-known in the community. Look at the daily schedule of that station. After 10 o'clock, everything becomes satellite unless there's high school sports. Look at WAUB. Go to the studio in Auburn, Mr. Benzinger, Mr. Thomas, Mr. Barlow. I invite you to go. Talk to Joe Salzone. Ask him how often that studio space is used when he's not there. You'll find out that it's not used at all, because the station is a repeat of WGVA. So look at the waste. Look at the toll that this company under Mr. Bishop's command has wrought on people, on the people that it serves. And yes, he was following orders from Mr. Kimball. I get that. There's a thing called a conscience. There's a thing called saying no when public interest, convenience, and necessity are in harm's way. And Mr. Bishop did not do that. Mr. Bishop clearly does not have a conscience. So I ask you, I beg you, Long Point Media, if you are listening to this program and if you value the community's public interest, convenience, and necessity, then I would ask you, I would recommend to you to consider whether or not Mr. Bishop is an asset to your company and make your decision accordingly.
Rebuttals can be sent to Radio News Now at ymail.com. Radio News
Yes.
Now at ymail.com. And those views are strictly those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff of Geneva Community Radio or any other associated entities.
Including the Boys and Girls Club.
Correct.
Yes.
Well, as usual, we will be following this story as many more developments will be coming, I'm sure, and we'll be on top of this. My prediction is, though, that while there may be an abundance of new local programming, I don't anticipate any format changes, per se.
No, I don't either.
Because all of these formats have done well.
Yeah, all of their formats, they perform extremely well.
And so I don't foresee any changes in that department. But then again, stranger things have happened.
Right.
So we'll follow this. Moving on now, and some interesting trades. And these were literally trades.
Yes. Yes.
No money was changed hands apparently in Charlotte, Tampa, Miami.
Tampa.
And Philadelphia.
In Philadelphia, CBS and Beasley trading out a total of 19 stations to one another. Of course, in Philadelphia, CBS is getting the 2 FMs. In exchange, Beasley's getting WIP. In Miami, CBS is getting an all-FM cluster there from Beasley. This would actually include the legendary Power 96, Jake?
Oh, yes. Yes, I know that station.
Which everyone says is going to go amped.
I wouldn't be surprised. So this...
I wouldn't be either. Yeah, in fact, the only reason WRDW isn't going to go amped, and I honestly have to believe everyone in this one, as stupid as I think the news on FM concept is, KYW is really looking for, really needs an FM station at this point. And actually, it does make sense because then they can put CBS Sports Radio on 1060.
Yes, they could if they're indeed going to split that simulcast, which we don't, we're not entirely sure that it is going to be a simulcast.
Right.
That's just speculation at this point.
Right.
But it does make sense. I mean, I know when they blew up WYSP, a lot of people said, oh, that's going to be KYWFM.
Right.
Now, I have to wonder, will Beasley be retaining the WIP calls on 610? Because
I don't know.
Because you've got 94.1, which presumably is going to stay sports.
Yes, and that will be WIP-FM. So whether or not that is retained, we'll have to see about that one.
Right, because I don't... Of course, if you're saying 610 is going to go brokered, I'm sure that the WIP legal ID will be the only time that those calls will ever be mentioned.
Right.
On that frequency again.
Right.
So maybe it won't matter as much. And, of course, they're retaining AM 800 and also WWDB AM 860.
Yes, they will be retaining those two AMs.
See, I find it interesting that they want to retain an all... Essentially, this is going to mean Beasley is going to have an all AM cluster in Philadelphia.
Well, think about it, though, Jake. They can broker them, and they can make a ton of money off of them.
That's true. That's very true. And two of these three AMs will be daytimers.
Yes, 800 and 860.
Right. But as you say, we've seen it before, there's plenty of money to be made by brokering AM stations in large markets now.
Right.
So
now the other... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say, so that it looks like that's what's going to happen there.
Yes. Now, the other change that I'm focused on, and yeah, there probably will be other changes, but another Beasley change I'm focused on, it's another AM in Tampa, 1010, which is now WFHS. They're going to get rid of that, I know.
Well, what makes you think they will get rid of it? Is CBS going to bar Beasley from carrying CBS Sports Radio?
Well, that's what I think is going to happen, especially if especially the national feed.
But why?
That's something CBS wants to carry in-house. I don't think you're going to see CBS allowing them to have that and then other sports on FM. I think they might allow Beasley 98.7 particularly to be an FM affiliate of CBS Sports Radio. But I don't think you're going to see – I do not think you're going to see the full-time feed continue on 1010 AM. I think that is most likely going to go away. I think Beasley will be able to make a lot of money brokering that 1010 facility. Beasley really does not own a lot of AMs, and what they do own is mostly brokered with the exception of WQAM in Miami, and that's going to CBS anyway. That's a sports station, and that's going to CBS anyway.
Right.
So I think you're going to see more brokered stuff with their AMs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that would certainly seem to be the logical assumption. You know, it's really too bad we can't discuss this with the Radio Racket folks.
Yeah, I know.
because, of course, I'm sure that they would have something to say about it.
And, oh yeah, of course.
And of course,
they're based there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in the Philadelphia market, that is.
Market, right.
Now, you think then that CBS will keep WXTU country?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. That's too much of a cash cow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll follow this story as well. What I think is interesting is that this was all trade. This was all barter. There was no money involved.
No money at all.
That is just so bizarre, really. Because very often we've seen these swaps, but there's always been some cash changing hands.
Right. Now, the other thing I want to bring up, if we've got some time.
Oh, plenty. Go ahead.
Okay, good. The other thing I want to bring up, now, we've been hearing all week long, and actually before that, because I think we talked about this on the program, that CBS Radio wants to sell off its smaller markets. Now, Tampa and Charlotte are definitely smaller markets for CBS. So is this part of the game plan, and are more swaps and or sales coming? The answer? Possibly, but likely not right now. At least that's what a lot of the brokers in the deal-making community are thinking.
Right.
And I think because the station – CBS is asking for large – for station amounts way above cash flow, 10 times cash flow. And station values have not reached that point yet.
Well, I don't think they ever will.
You know, the economy crash happened in 2008.
Right, and that's when station values started to take a nosedive.
Right. They still have not come back. They're climbing. It's like they're climbing a mountain, and they're not sky high yet.
I don't think we're ever going to see those prices go sky high again.
I think we will, but I think it will only be when there's been enough deal trading, and enough. Investment, not only in terms of profit, but in commercially in terms of advertising investment and things of that nature into radio. Because right now, you know, radio is the least advertisers are least likely to advertise on radio versus other media. If that should ever change, if radio becomes more prevalent, then yes, I can see station values going sky high again. But I honestly think, one, the leaders of this industry need to have some sense and make it happen. And two, even if that does happen, it's going to take a while before we get there.
Well, you know, you bring up some interesting points, and we might as well go here. I'm not really sorry that radio station values have gone down, because it's giving smaller companies a chance to expand. Perfect example is this new Long Point media that's coming to our area. I can't say for sure what the Finger Lakes Radio Group stations would have fetched back 10 years ago. I don't know. But I think it's a fairly safe bet they would have gone for more than 3.375 mil.
Oh yeah, safe and easy.
So, you know, the fact that station values have gone down, maybe we will see more smaller groups or local owners like this new company in Louisiana you mentioned, being able to acquire stations. And therefore bring some much needed change to this industry.
And I completely agree with you. There are pros and cons to that, though. And Here's the con that I'm concerned about. Now, if you've got companies like Clear Channel or iHeartMedia, which you know about the Aloha Trust.
Oh, yes.
The reason that the Aloha Trust isn't selling off more stations is because the people behind Clear Channel want more money for them. They want those sky-high prices. So until those prices go up, they're not selling. AKA, those stations will remain controlled by Clear Channel instead of going to a local owner. It's not that they will refuse to sell to them. It's that they're refusing to sell because the prices aren't what they want.
But the more
of these large companies that hold back like that, I'm not saying that I completely disagree with that. I'm just saying it's something that concerns me.
Oh, and that's a legitimate concern too. But in this economy and in the business world in general, companies need to understand that they're not always going to get what they want. And if they really want to unload some of these stations, which I think they should, so that they could maybe start pumping some of that money into the stations that they want to retain, it just sometimes you can't get what you want. And so right. What we have here in many cases we have more of these stations that are just afterthoughts, and they're running premium choice and such. And so there's no real effort being put into them. I just have to wonder, though, if they were to sell these stations, of course, then they run the risk of these stations being competition.
Right. Well, that's why I think that's why some of these companies are asking for such high prices, is because secretly they don't want to sell. But they can't hold on to them, so they just put them into trust.
Right. Right. Some very interesting speculation, but... yeah, ultimately, I would have to agree with you and all of those who say that CBS is looking to downsize its radio division. I remember how they expanded. I mean, I can recall, and you're younger than I, but I'm sure even you were following the industry back then when they began acquiring more stations. I can recall when some of these stations were still owned by companies like Infinity Broadcasting and American Radio Systems.
Oh yes, I remember American Radio Systems.
Yeah.
That was the old company that had stations in Rochester and Buffalo.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah.
And I recall, actually, it's funny, I tell you, I remember some of the strangest things. I remember hearing that news report as part of a CNN business brief on one of our local TV stations' morning news programs. And I was having my breakfast, and they were talking about Westinghouse acquiring American Radio.
Wow. Ooh.
And I kind of figured they actually meant American Radio Systems, even though they just referred to it as American Radio.
Yep.
And then later that week on one of the media programs I listened to on shortwave, sure enough, I did hear that that was confirmed. So it's interesting to watch how this company grew and... Now to see them downsizing.
I know. It's remarkable.
Yes.
It's remarkable how things change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we will continue to follow the changes on Clearing the Static, as we do each and every week. And that's what you're listening to. It's Clearing the Static from Geneva Community Radio. Don't forget to check us out online. All of our shows are archived, and we're fast approaching our fourth anniversary of this program. It's 1 month away now. It's going to be year number four coming to a close here in November.
Yeah, I know. Oh, my goodness.
So you can listen to our progress and see how this show has changed and all of the different stories that we've followed. All of that is available for you at clearingthestatic.blogspot.com. Also, don't forget to check out our impressive page of links to other media sites. That, too, is available for you anytime, anywhere at clearingthestatic.blogspot.com. I just wanted to mention that because sometimes I feel we don't plug our web presence enough.
No, you know, we really someone told me the other day, we don't give out our email address enough.
Oh, well, we can remedy that.
It's radionewsnow@ymail.com. It's Radio News Now. It's all one word. radionewsnow@ymail.com.
Yeah, you know, and it's I remember when I was setting that up for you, I wasn't sure what to go with because at the time, Yahoo Mail, Ymail is a division of Yahoo Mail, for those who didn't figure that out. I wasn't sure what to go with. They had a few different options. And I guess at yahoo.com, as I recall, was not available. I don't know why. But it was either Ymail or
Rocket Mail,
yes. And I didn't know. Maybe I should have called you up and asked you what one you'd want. I don't know if you'd. I didn't know. I didn't think you'd want Radio News Now at rocketmail.com.
.com. No. Oh, that would have been strange to say. So, no, I like the Ymail, although most people had never heard of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well,
when I give that out, you know, I have to specify exactly what that is. That's
right.
A division of Yahoo. Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, but it's not at yahoo.com. If you send it to radionewsnow@yahoo.com, it won't go to you.
Right.
It won't get to you. So yeah, well, there it is, folks. We've just spent the last 2 minutes talking about our email address.
Right.
radionewsnow@ymail.com. And yeah, please do send your feedback because the Radio Kid does read them and occasionally he even responds.
Oh, yes. Sometimes on air.
Yes. Although you've yet to do that, I think, addressing an email.
No, we did, because we got a bunch of email from Paul that we had talked about.
Oh, yes, and then, yes.
And then we got that whole thing from I can't say who it was, but when they asked us to read the phony Kimberly and Beck apology.
Oh, yes. Yes, yeah. I'd forgotten. Sometimes I wonder if my mind is going because I forget some of these things sometimes.
Oh, don't worry. I'm becoming the same way.
Yeah, but you're still in your 20s. You don't have the excuse.
Yeah. Right. Okay, Jake.
So let's get back on track here. If you have other radio stuff you want to talk about.
Well, actually, I do. I have a couple of things. So we'll just go quickly. Family Radio selling off another station, KBFR, 91.9 in Bismarck, North Dakota. This is, of course, a continuation of the sell-off of smaller stuff from the Harold Camping Empire.
Yes, and again, it's amazing how this story has unfolded over the years.
Yes.
And it just, what really amazes me about this, the whole family radio empire, they were probably the first religious broadcaster to do what they did in terms of establishing this nationwide network. And it amazes me how they actually determined that their programming would be well received in some of these really small markets, like Bismarck, North Dakota. I have to wonder how much of a following over the decades that frequency has been on the air, probably, how much of a following has 91.9 FM had among the evangelical Christian community of Bismarck?
You know, and I also have to wonder, I mean, given that obviously family radio, its programming was aimed at an older population, a much older population.
Well, I think at the time, though, when it first started, it probably wasn't.
Right.
But the thing is, they never updated their programming.
Right. Well, because Harold Camping didn't believe in it.
Right.
He specifically said he believed in the traditional hymns as music and the old-fashioned way of preaching.
Right.
So he didn't believe in an update. There's still debate. I'm hearing there is debate in family radio over whether or not to update. But since they're unloading, it doesn't matter anyway.
No.
I honestly think the time is going to come eventually when they're a webcast-only operation.
If that. But, yeah, no, You bring up an interesting point. I didn't mean to cut you off about that. You're talking about how their demos have aged. They've aged out of the conventional advertising demo, certainly.
Oh, yes. But, you know, I would actually venture to guess that the stations like Family Radio actually probably do better in more rural areas than they do in the bigger cities.
But yet they did. They went because they were one of the first to latch onto this concept in the 60s and 70s and 80s. They were able to acquire FM stations. So they were able to establish a presence in a lot of these urban areas like New York and Philadelphia and Washington, D.C., Baltimore, and for that matter, their home base, the San Francisco market.
Right.
Whereas, you know, a lot of newcomers onto the satellite religious broadcasting scene were shut out of a lot of these larger markets.
Exactly. But now you're starting to see them get back into some of these markets. And so it's very interesting how all of that evolved. So this is definitely a story we will be following. The buyer, Real Presence Radio, they're the Catholic radio group in North Dakota. They own several stations. Not much to talk about with them because they are mostly an EWTN satellite-fed property.
Right, but you mentioned that they had another station in the market on 89.1.
Yes.
But yet they were going to use 91.9 to feed or as a repeater for their AM in Grand Forks. But now are these different? Is 89.1 and are 89.1 and 1340 running different programming?
No.
Then I don't see what the difference. What difference does it make? What the prime?
I don't either. which struck me as odd when I read it.
It just makes no sense. Unless maybe they're planning to do something different.
Could be. I don't know. We just found out about that sale yesterday. So I didn't have time to reach out to them yet.
Oh, no, I understand. But, you know, as you say, it's just EWTN radio.
Right.
For North Dakota, essentially.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Unfortunately. So... Well, we've got a few minutes left here. If there's, I know that you said there's something else you wanted to talk about.
Well, actually, there would be something else to talk about. But, you know, I've been really lazy this week with the program. And there's actually a legitimate reason why.
Okay.
Because I have discovered a new radio station.
A new radio? All right.
All right, it's an LP-FM. Actually, you might recall we were talking on the program about the 106.7 near Phoenix that was doing alternative rock, or that was their plan. They had to move down to 99.1 because of interference to another station in the Phoenix area on 106.5. When they did that, or as they were – see, it's really odd because the LPFM database says that they haven't even gone on the air yet and that the CP is still pending. But I don't know if it's if there's something that its author doesn't know. But when they went to 99.1, they stuck with the alternative format for a while until an actual alternative station, full power, arrived in Phoenix. And at that point, they decided to change format. They are now a 90s, a techno-heavy 90s station known as WOW 99.1. And I have been absolutely wrapped up in listening to this radio station, so much so that I've been staying up much later than I should be here in the Eastern time zone, listening to them and making requests on their automated request system, which actually plays the request you want if they have it.
Dare I ask, what are some of the songs you've requested?
Let's see. Amber, This Is Your Night. No Mercy, Where Do You Go? ATB and the Wild Strawberries, Let You Go. What else? Oh, my first request was Alice DJ, Better Off Alone. Oh, I don't know. I've requested so much stuff. Good.
Guessing all of these were dance charts.
Yes.
Okay, because I was going to say, I don't. The only one I remember from my childhood and growing up in the 90s is the one by No Mercy.
Yep.
That one did cross over into the pop charts.
Yep.
But none of that other stuff I remembered. I was just curious as to what they were playing from the 90s.
Right.
So, a new dance station, essentially.
Yes. But thank God, it's not – well, actually, I was looking at their Facebook, and they want to update the music a little bit, and I said, no, please don't do that. No!
What I find interesting is obviously the operators of this LPFM, they definitely are following the trends in the market.
Yes.
And they react to them.
Yes.
But what I think would behoove them at this point would be to keep this format, because I don't think you're going to see anyone commercially pick it up. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but that doesn't seem to be a hot commodity right now in commercial radio.
No. No. I would stick with it, but I definitely like its 90s emphasis.
Right. Well, yeah.
No, and I said on their Facebook, you know, if you want to do current dance, I mean, the Pulse out of that high school, out of the Valley Institute of Technology, they're already doing that format. You know, I said, keep it the way you have it.
Right. And I would have to agree with that. I would have to agree with that because it's LPFM. I know you feel it should be formatted, and that's fine that you feel that way, but don't try to imitate commercial radio. You'll never succeed at it.
Right.
Do something different. That's what LPFM is supposed to be, an alternative to that which is already being done. And if it's,
right.
If it's formatted, fine, great. But make sure you're not doing something already being done in the market, which they obviously have the good sense to do because they flipped formats.
Right.
So we'll follow this story as it develops. And unfortunately, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the program.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you, everyone, for listening. This has been Clearing the Static from Geneva Community Radio. And we're archived online at clearingthestatic.blogspot.com. And hopefully I'll see you all in the radio chat. And if not, just remember all you radio geeks and geekazoids, video didn't kill the radio star. He's just busy following down a long point.
That he is. We'll be back next week, folks, with another edition of Clearing the Static. For the Radio Kid, I'm Jake Longwell. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.